I want to tell you, before I read this text quickly, and I will read quickly because I realize that the text is kind of lengthy, but we had a good move of God last week, and this week, all this week, this message came to me early on in this week, and I kind of tried to run from it a little bit. And I said, well, Lord, we had a good service last week. And God said, but I'm speaking to somebody today, somebody specific. And so I want us to just, I've just learned to just obey God. 1 Kings, the 20th chapter, the first verse says, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together. And there were 32 kings with him and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine. Thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. So Ben-Hadad said to Ahab, everything you own is mine. And Ahab said, okay. That's what he said. And the messengers came again and said, thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver, thy gold, thy wives, and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time. And they're going to search your house and the houses of your servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, mark, I pray you, see how this man seeketh mischief, for he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. Every time I read about Ahab, he seems to do something else that just lowers his standing in my eyes. It says, and all the elders and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And so I want to speak to you today, very serious, sobering topic, and that is, Satan is never satisfied. Satan is never satisfied. Before we pray, I want to say we live in a world that wants to downplay and diminish the role of Satan and demons and devils as though it's something just to be laughed at, to be not to be taken seriously. But Jesus said the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. Praise God. Satan is never satisfied. Dad, would you pray and ask the Lord's blessings on his word today? Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Also, I want to apologize to our parents. We, of course, we're having growing pains of our own, and we're eventually going to move into these classes over here and have a place for Sunday school and our children and all of that, and hopefully sooner rather than later. Let's pray that God will give us the right people with the right burden and the right, the ability and the desire to do that for us. Amen. Whenever we pray. But our scripture text said that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, came up against Samaria. Now, Samaria at this time was part of Israel, and he comes up against Samaria. And I would like to say today that Ben-Hadad, we can view Ben-Hadad as being a type of Satan coming against the people of God. Ben-Hadad comes along. He sends a message to Ahab and he says, "Thus saith Ben-Hadad. Thus saith Ben-Hadad." Now, throughout the Bible says that whenever the prophet of God spoke, that the prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord," right? And so Ben-Hadad elevates himself to, tries to elevate himself to equal standing with God. You can be sure of one thing, that whenever someone speaks and they glorify themselves, they're not glorifying God. God's not in it. Because when God is in it, he gets the glory. He gets the glory. He said he will not share his glory with another. But Ben-Hadad said in verse 3, "Thy silver and thy gold is mine. Thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine." And so Ben-Hadad is laying claim to everything that Ahab has. His children, his wives, his silver, his gold, everything. He wants the very best of everything. He doesn't ask for it. He just takes it. He says, "It's mine." And Ahab surrenders. He says, "That's good. That's fine. You can have my wife, my wives, my children. You can have everything." I have to wonder what kind of a man Ahab was that he would say, "Take it all." Obviously, though, there was something in his house that mattered more to him than his wives and his children. Because Ben-Hadad said, "When my men come, they're going to look through your house and they're going to see whatever they can find. And when they find something that is pleasant to your eyes, that's what they're going to take." And so Ahab said, "Well, you can have my wives and my children, but I'm not going to let you come in my house and search." Evidently, there was something there that he didn't want them to see or to have. But he surrenders. He makes attempts to make a bargain with Ben-Hadad. A lot of people think if they bargain with the devil, that he'll leave them alone. They think if they surrender part of their life to him, that he will stop at that. And so Ahab gave up his wives, his children, his riches, but Ben-Hadad was not satisfied. And so he tells Ahab, as we read, "I'm going to search your house. They'll take what they want." You see, Ben-Hadad was not just wanting to conquer Ahab, but he wanted to humiliate Ahab. He doesn't trust Ahab to surrender everything to him, so he wants to see for himself. And so finally, Ahab draws the line and says, "I'm not giving you this. You have asked for too much now." Now, let me just say this today, folks. I don't think that there's anybody here that would really say of themselves that they have made or that they are making a deal with the devil. We don't think of ourselves that way. At least we don't like to think of ourselves that way. But the truth is that whatever in your life does not belong to God belongs to him. The truth is that the Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. And so even though we don't consciously surrender our lives or parts of our lives to the devil, it's time to get down to where we live. Is that okay for just a minute to get down to where we live? Even though nobody in here would say, "I make a deal," or "I have made a deal with the devil," the kind of things that we do, we say things like, "I can watch this TV show even though I know that it's not conducive to good, godly Christian living, and I'll still be all right." We say, "I can sneak around and read books or magazines and nobody else is going to know, and what people think of me is not, they'll think that I'm just this good person. And meanwhile, I can hide that part of my life from everybody else, but you can't hide from God." Nobody ever woke up one morning and found out that suddenly they were an alcoholic. What happened was, is they subconsciously made a deal with the devil. They said, I'll have a drink and no more. I'll have a little bit of this and no more. Nobody woke up one day and just suddenly found out that they were a drug addict. No, they said, I can try marijuana. I can try this. I can try that. And so we think many times that we can dabble around in the world and dabble with the things that Satan is holding out there for us. And we think that if I dabble in it, I'll be okay because I can stop at this point whenever I get ready. And so we don't consciously make any sort of a deal with the devil. But we think that I'll just give him a little portion of my life. Maybe you have a secret sin like pornography or something else going on in your life, and you think that I'll keep it in this room over here and I won't let anybody else see it. I won't let anybody else know what's going on over here. But remember, Benadad said, I'm going to send my servants and they're going to search out your house and they're going to find whatever it is that they want, and I'm not going to make any bargains with you. When I get done with you, I'm going to own everything. You see, the devil doesn't give up on just a small, secret portion of your life. He is never going to be satisfied. You may think that I'll just give him a little bit of my money and he'll stop there. Or I'll surrender my husband and my wife or my children like Ahab did, and he'll stop there. But he won't stop. If you give him your children, he won't stop. He wants to own your home. He wants to control your life. He wants to make you a slave. Proverbs 27 and 20 said, hell and destruction are never full. You see, no matter what you surrender to hell, folks, it's never going to be able to satisfy the devil. No matter what you surrender to him, it's never going to be enough. The destruction is going to continue to come. The ruins of your life are going to continue to multiply. The thief cometh not, John 10:10 says, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And everything about the devil is to destroy you. You see, I could stand up here today and I could preach a happy-go-lucky, feel-good message. But I know that we have an enemy. And I have been pastoring long enough to know and have seen too many families and homes and lives that have been broken because somebody thought that they could make a deal with the devil, that they could limit him to just one part of their life, and they found out that it was not enough. Proverbs said in Proverbs 30 and 15, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. You know what the horse leech is? It's a worm-like, blood-sucking parasite. It's never full, but it eats and it eats and it eats until the host is gone. And finally, after all of that, then and only then is it finished, when the host is consumed. But the horse leech says, give, give, give. Solomon went on to say that there are four things that are never satisfied. He said things that never say it is enough. The first of the four is the grave. How many of you know today that the grave has no heart? The grave plays no favorites. The grave takes all ages, all races, all social classes. It takes everybody. The second thing is the barren womb. The barren womb can't be satisfied. When a woman wants children, it's cold and it's indifferent and it'll never be satisfied with anything else. The earth can never be satisfied. It's never filled with water. No matter how much it rains, sooner or later, the water is gone. It absorbs and it absorbs endlessly. Fire can never be satisfied. It burns and it burns as long as you feed it. If you feed the devil, he's going to consume you. If you feed his appetite, you will never satisfy him. Ecclesians 4 and 8 said, there is one alone and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all of his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. It is a sore travail. How many of you know somebody That is spending a lifetime building up earthly riches. Anybody know somebody who's spending a lifetime trying to get ahead, trying to further career, trying to advance their standing in this world? And yet the writer of Ecclesiastes said, who am I doing this all for? He said, it's vanity. It's sore travail. But the devil will hold out a carrot to you and think that if you just had more money, you would be satisfied. If you just had more cars or a bigger car or a nicer home, you'll be satisfied. You're never going to be satisfied until you sell out to God lock, stock, and barrel. You're never going to be satisfied until you give it all to Him. He went on to say in Ecclesiastes 5 and 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is vanity. Isaiah said, he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. In other words, you reach a place with the devil that you have no more to give. And after he has taken everything you have, your family, your car, your home, everything, soon you start to eat yourself out. What happens to an alcoholic? He starts to consume himself. His body starts to break down. The drug addict, his body starts to break down. Everything starts to break. You, once he has taken everything you have, then you start to consume yourself. Job, the devil, we all know the story of Job. The devil thought that the devil came and took his possessions away, but he wasn't satisfied. He took his sheep, his servants. He struck them down with lightning from heaven, but he wasn't satisfied. He took the camels, but he wasn't satisfied. Finally, he took Job's sons and his daughters. He is never satisfied. Judas thought that he could bargain with the devil, Brother Harry. Judas thought that I will deceive or I will betray Jesus. And when I betray Jesus, I'll stop right there. I'll go back to the temple and life will be like it was before. I'll go back and I'll worship and everything will be like it was before. I'll go back and I'll offer up a sacrifice and everything will be like it was before. I'll just compromise my integrity a little bit to make a fast buck. But he found out that he went into a whirlpool that he could not stop. And it consumed him. He unleashed forces that were beyond his control. Isaiah 5 and 14 said, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Hell is never satisfied. Let me tell you something, folks. And this is the crux of the matter today. And this is bringing it down where the rubber meets the road. There's only one way to deal with the devil, and that is to refuse to bargain. To refuse to give him one inch. To refuse to allow him access into your home. To refuse to give him your children. Refuse to give him your spouse. Don't negotiate. Don't say you can have this, but I won't give you this. You need to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going to give you any of it. I'm not making any bargains, but I'm going to stand firm. This is one of the reasons why people sometimes don't understand why churches have standards. Reason churches have standards is because we've learned that whenever you try to bargain and you say, we'll let this go, but we won't let that go, it never works because he's never satisfied. He wants these young people. He wants these children. He wants these husbands and these wives. He wants these families. And we have to just draw a line in the sand and say there is no negotiating. We're not going past this point. We're not giving an inch. Years ago, I was working at Coca-Cola. I got a job. Some of you have heard this. If you have, well, just pretend like you haven't. Working at Coca-Cola, 21 years old, 1985. Don't try to do the math. I don't want you to. 1985, went off to work in my spiffy green and white Coca-Cola uniform. Struck an imposing figure. I'm going to tell you something, though. The first week I was there, single, no bills, no debts, no credit cards, didn't owe anybody anything. The first week I was there, I made $2,000. Now, that's good money even today. That's good money for a man with a family. That's good money for somebody who's got debts. That was really good money in 1985 to a 21-year-old who had no debts and no family. You believe what I'm saying? I still got the stubs stored away somewhere in a box. Because I knew there would come a day when my son would say, I don't believe it. $2,000. Worked the second week, $2,000. Making a lot of money. But the problem was, is Wednesday night church service rolled around, Brother Harry. Got in too late to go to church. Too tired, didn't have time, didn't get in till 7, 8 o'clock at night. And at that time, you know, by the time I got dressed, church would be over with anyway. So there wasn't really a whole lot of point in doing all that, trying to go to church. After about 2 weeks of that, making a lot of money, I realized that I had to make a decision. Because Satan was holding a carrot out there. And he said, here's all the kingdoms of the world. Let me show you what I'll give to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. You remember how he did Jesus? He said, oh, I can make life good for you. And so one night in a Sunday night church service, I said, Lord, I'll work anywhere. I'll do anything. You provide me a job, I'll do it. But I've got to get out of this because it's not worth my soul. The very next morning at 7 o'clock, a gentleman from our church called me up and said, I've got a job for you if you're interested. How much does it pay? $5.50 an hour. I'll take it. And I never regretted it. And I never looked back. Why? Because I understood that the devil was trying to make a bargain. And he was saying, I can make life real good for you if you'll just do, if you'll just live this way and continue to miss church and continue to give your life to this thing, I can make life real good for you. I said all of that to say this. Brother Gray, you didn't know when you testified a little while ago. You didn't know, but God spoke to you and used you to confirm what I wanted to say here today and some of the things that I wanted to say. You said the Holy Ghost will guide you. He'll tell you what's right and what's wrong. Amen. And as God laid this message on my heart this week, I said, Lord, what is it that you're trying to tell us? And God said, somebody is going to be in that service on Sunday afternoon that is going to be in the valley of decision. And God said, you've got a decision to make. You're at a crossroads in your life. You've got a choice to make. And he said, on one hand, you've got an offer that's too good to refuse. But God says, beware, because you may be walking into a trap. You can't bargain with him. You can't deal with him. God says, you've got a choice. You've got a choice. You've got a choice. You're at the valley of decision. Hallelujah. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? I'm not necessarily talking to somebody who's lost when I say that. I'm talking to somebody who may have a relationship with God, but you've got a choice ahead of you. Zachary, you've got some choices in life. Understand, Satan is never satisfied. You can't bargain with him. Miranda, you can't bargain with him. You can't bargain with him. You young folks are facing a lot of tough decisions coming up. And you're going to have a lot of opportunities presented to you. But you can't bargain with the devil. Let's bow our head, close our eyes for just a minute. God is speaking to somebody here today. I don't want to single anybody out. I feel like I know who the Lord's talking to, but I don't. But I want us to just bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's just ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? I want to submit my life to you and to your will. And that means more than just giving it lip service. That means more than just saying, Lord, I'm yours. What it means is it means, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'll live how you want me to live. Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. Somebody's got a decision to make. I don't know whether it's a decision within your family and within your home, within your job. I don't know. But I'm just telling you today, don't bargain with the devil. Don't bargain with the devil. Don't bargain with him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's everybody stand if you would. Praise God. Praise God. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me. He made everything new. He is my everything. Sing it for me. Hallelujah. Sing it for me. Yes, he is. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me. tell you, if you would, just for a moment, I'm not one to just drag things out, but I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a minute, and I'm going to tell you why. I feel very strongly about this today, that the Lord has this message for somebody. And I just feel inadequate to really express what I feel like the Lord is trying to say. But God is speaking to somebody today through His Word. Through His Word. And I think deep down in your heart, you want to do the right thing. You want to make the right decision. You want to make sure that you're walking the way God wants you to walk. It's so easy sometimes to get sidetracked. So easy sometimes to make a mistake. It's so easy sometimes to step out of the path. But God loves us enough, as Brother Gray said in his testimony earlier, God loves us enough. He guides us into all truth. And today He's guiding you through His Word. But I wonder, with every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Is there anybody out there that would say, just by putting your hand in the air, Pastor, I believe that message might have been for me. I've got a big decision in my life, and I need direction from God. I need direction from God. Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's anybody that would like prayer, that would like to come down here and let us pray for you, that God would give you direction. Anybody? Hallelujah.